Welcome to In Your Area. This episode features a conversation between Corey Donald of Forward Psychology in Edmonton and Macaulay Brown of The Real Estate Company. Corey and Macaulay chat about the true meaning of anxiety and how it can manifest itself in your day-to-day life. Macaulay shares his personal experiences in dealing with anxiety, while Corey offers guidance in how to recognize, accept, and thrive during these moments and come out stronger on the other side. We know this is a tough time for everyone, both personally and professionally, and we hope that this conversation can give you a few helpful tips to deal with this uncertainty. We hope you enjoy.
Hi, I'm Macaulay Brown, and I'm an associate at The Real Estate Company based out of Calgary. Joining me today is Corey Donald of Forward Psychology. Corey, I'll throw it over to you to tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. My name is Corey Donald. I am a psychologist that works in Edmonton. As mentioned in previous episodes, I am connected to real estate in a personal way. Kind of grew up around it. My dad was an agent and a broker for pretty much all my life, just retiring here in the recent, this year actually. So I'm a little bit connected to real estate and I've worked in the helping professions essentially for the last two decades.
You know, that's not something you hear, someone retiring from real estate. Quite rare.
No kidding, hey? Yeah, much to his own chagrin, I'm sure. Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask, I'd love to know, Corey, a bit more about your background and what it is that you do.
Sure. So as I mentioned, helping professions for me. So I actually started out in education. I was a teacher a few years, and then I'm the classroom and took a consulting role. So working at a lot of professional development for teachers and administrators. I did that for a number of years, and then now working as a psychologist full time. So like I say, for the last 20 years or so, it's been helping professions that have been my focus. And real estate's always been something I've been interested in. Again, professionally, no connection for me. I've never connected to it professionally, but certainly with my dad being in the business for as long as he was, I kind of grew up around it.
And when you grow up around it, you're quite involved, I feel, you know. So we're kind of dealing with anxiety here in real estate, right? And so one thing that I kind of want to know, this is more even just on a personal level, is I would love to know what actually is defined as anxiety. Because I feel like nowadays, you know, especially with social media, there's a very vague kind of thing that everyone throws to be anxiety, right? You have a little bit of nervousness and someone kind of labels it as anxiety. And I just would like to know what a professional kind of defines it as.
That's a good question. I think you make such an important point there, honestly. It's one of those things that you do hear all the time. I can't even tell you the number of times I say anxiety in a single day. You know, truthfully, I was joking the other day with somebody, just kind of poking fun at it, right? You know, that I literally in my professional conversations, you know, anxiety is coming up 90% of the time. But then the kind of the joking piece was that in my personal conversations, it's coming up probably 50 or 60% of the time as well. So yeah, it's kind of omnipresent. And I like the distinction that you're making between nervousness and anxiety. And I think that is important. If we talk about what it is, and maybe what I can do for you is kind of go through the process of, you know, kind of identifying what's going on in our body and our brain and those kinds of things. And then maybe that sort of leads itself into maybe some talk about some strategies around how we deal with it and those kinds of things. Does that sound all right?
Sounds excellent.
Okay, so the first thing that we want to know is that ultimately it is an automatic response. So really it's your body perceiving a threat, whether the threat's a real threat or whether it's an artificial threat, whether it's a threat, you know, that's sort of just made up in your mind or it's real, you have this automatic response to that. So typically we see this happen in times where maybe there's something new going on or sort of a novel situation. Oftentimes, Macaulay, the unknown causes a lot of stress. Yeah. And right? And so the other thing that I'll say about that too is that there's this feeling with anxiety a lot of times when something is important, when it feels big, oftentimes it'll cause us a lot of anxiety. Sometimes we feel that with pressure as well, right? So one of the things to keep in mind is we don't ever want to get rid of it. So, you know, as a species, it's kept us alive. And I can't tell you how important that is to understand this idea that, you know, our body is actually alerting us to something that matters. And when we feel that way, it's important to kind of tap into that a little bit. So, you know, what it can look like is it can look like fear. It can look like irritability. It can present itself as sadness sometimes. It can even look like with withdrawal, but we want to become hyper aware of those types of things. So again, we don't want to get rid of it, but we certainly want to notice it. And I'm going to speak a little bit more to that, I think, as we kind of move through today, but we're kind of wired to see what's wrong is a good way of looking at it. So over time, we develop to sort of notice the things in our environment that that might be a little bit out of sorts. And if they're out of sorts, we've learned to become sort of hyper-vigilant. And so again, that's our body kind of kicking in. Now, physiologically, what you'll notice are all the typical symptoms. So your heart rate increases, you get jittery, butterflies in your stomach. Butterflies in the stomach, by the way, is the blood leaving your stomach and going to your muscles. So again, this is how your body adapted to be able to fight a tiger, run away from it. Kind of cool.
Okay. So fight or flight.
Yeah. And that's okay. Your sympathetic nervous system kicking in. So sometimes what you'll feel is, you know, just kind of a sense of dread or doom, right? And sometimes we know what's causing it. Like for a lot of us right now, it's certainly related to COVID. Yeah. And sometimes we don't know what's causing it, which oftentimes is kind of scary too.
So I found I used to actually, deal with it on more of a basis. Probably be about 5 or so years ago now, where I used to wake up in the morning and I would have to go back to bed due to the fact that I would wake up and have a panic. You know, I'd start sweating, my heart would be racing and whatnot. And, you know, I started to take measures that I found got it to not to the fact that I don't deal with it ever, because as you said, right, it's a beneficial thing in some circumstances. So I needed to get it to a point where it wasn't taking over my life. And I found, I don't know if there's any science behind it or if it was a placebo effect, but what I found really helped was I kind of got my diet in place, spent less time on social media, started exercising. So I guess kind of what I'm getting at here is there any preventative measures that we can take in order to not have to deal with anxiety on a scale that causes us to, you know, be in situations where we can't get our work done or, you know, aren't able to deal with our family during this time, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And I love the fact that you shared your experience. So thank you for doing that. It's enormous. It's so important that we do that. So thank you for that. First of all, can I, you know, I think one of the things that we should talk about before we even move into the strategies, I think, is just an understanding of really simply, at least, what's going on in your brain when this is happening.
Okay.
A lot of times what happens is people find that the psychoeducational piece, so the, you know, that sort of what are the components of my brain that are involved right now is helpful because it kind of heightens their awareness of it. So I'll put it really, really simply and super quick, and then let's move into sort of into some of those strategies, because I would agree with you, that's super important. So the first thing that you want to think about is how the brain develops. So the brain stem is what developed first. And if you think about it exactly as it sounds, as a stem, you know, it's kind of responsible for, it looks like a stem, and it's responsible for sort of the autopilot stuff. So breathing, blinking, digesting, those kinds of things. Over top of that, you developed what's called the midbrain. And part of the midbrain is the limbic system. And within the limbic system, you've got this one component called the amygdala. And the amygdala is super important. It's essentially what we would call the emotional center of the brain. Its job is to keep you alive at all costs. It's kind of a bodyguard. So when you talk about waking up in the morning and putting your feet on the floor and having some kind of a response, your amygdala was kicking in. And what happens when your amygdala kicks in is the amygdala essentially alerts your body to danger and then rallies the troops. So you end up getting a flood of cortisol, and then you get all of those fight or flight responses. Okay. So when that happens, what's really interesting is the top part of the brain, that part that we're used to seeing kind of looks like spaghetti or noodles, that's called neocortex. So what ends up happening is your neocortex, in particular, your prefrontal cortex, it's kind of the logical centers, kind of like rational thought, organization, planning, those kinds of things. All those things that you need, those things that make you human, all those things you need to go about your day, the prefrontal cortex is essentially taken offline by the amygdala. And so you can imagine, it's exactly as you shared. You get up, put your feet on the floor, your amygdala kicks in, you get that fight or flight happening, and your prefrontal cortex turns off. and you now have no access or very limited access to, it's really difficult to have the rational thought, the organization, et cetera. And so what you do is you try to avoid, right? And you head back to bed or whatever it is you do to get out of the situation. Now, unfortunately, some people turn to, some choices that aren't necessarily as healthy as going to bed. So that's
exactly
right. So that's kind of what's going on in your brain, right? And it's interesting to look at it. Understanding it's really important in terms of, you know, knowing what's going on. But then the flip side of that is, okay, it's fantastic. I know what's going on. What the heck do I do with it, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you talked about diet and sleep is actually something that's on my hit list all the time, truthfully. It's amazing what diet, sleep, and exercise can do. You know, I would not say it's a placebo effect at all. I would say it's actually probably connected to physiologically just looking after those pieces that are obviously important to your development and your well-being. But it's also partly due, probably, just to some routine, right? It sounds as though kind of changed your lifestyle up a little bit, which
most definitely
massive. You know, you start to take control of the controllables, and I can't say that enough. Controlling the things that are within our control help us get a sense of being the one behind the wheel, which is massive.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I found was quite helpful as well. As I didn't write it down. I'm not one of those people who will write down a lot of things. I usually go by just by memory, but that was one thing that I found also helped quite a bit. Was I sat there and I'm very into science as well. I found that, you know, I kind of thought of life as a science experiment. And, you know, in science, you have your controllable variables and your uncontrollable variables, right? So I always kind of thought of everything that are variables. So what I'm actually able to change. And then I looked at everything that, you know, you can control. So in a science experiment, it might be the weather outside that day. But for me, you know, it was things such as how other people might react, or, you know, certain other exterior things that I can't control, how someone else does something or what happens due to this, et cetera. And I found that really helped, because I just came to an understanding of, hey, you know what, this isn't something that I have any control of. As long as I make sure I'm on top of the things I can control, everything that I can't control is going to be a lot easier, right? I just have to let it be as is.
A hugely powerful message. You're bang on. And I think what needs to accompany that is accepting that anxiety is going to be a part of your life, because there are so many components of life that you can't control. So that acceptance is enormous, right? And the other part of it too is, once you've accepted that, then you do start to evaluate, what are the things that I can manage? Oftentimes what I'm talking to people about is, and it fits really nicely, I think, Macaulay, with what you've just said, is anxiety wants to push you into the past, or it wants to push you into the future. And it doesn't want you to be in the present moment. So what we mean by that is, it wants to throw you backwards into all of these maybe examples of things that you'd like to change, or things that you don't feel you did well, those kinds of things. Or it likes to push you into the future with, you know, and so many of us get caught up in these hypothetical what if scenarios. Often in my office, we are literally calling it the case of the what ifs, where, you know, we can be chased down the rabbit hole of the what if this happens and what if that happens. And ultimately, we find ourselves focusing our attention on something that isn't even real at this point. May happen, may not happen. Truthfully, we've got no idea. So where do we go? Well, we have to back all the way back into the present moment. And that's precisely what you talked about, is looking after those things like diet and focus. I can't tell you how important it is to manage where you place your attention. So, you know, one of the things to keep in mind when it comes to this feeling of nervousness and anxiety, and, you know, for today, truthfully, I think we can almost link those two. When we talk about anxiety, typically, you know, when it becomes a challenge for us, and then beyond a challenge, is when the symptoms start to impact our life negatively, right? So it's that intersection that you talked about, where this anxiety is now at a point for me where I have to do something because it's stopping me from progressing in a variety of different areas of my life, right? Well, the first thing we want to do is we want to become really aware of it. Awareness is always going to be number one. So if you're feeling nervous or you're feeling anxious, awareness is always number one. And we often externalize it in my office too. So we out of ourselves, we kind of throw it on the table, or we grab it by the scruff and we have a real good look at it. You know, what's going on here? because we want to link what we're noticing to the feeling that we're feeling. And then we also want to link it to what the cause is. So it's like, okay, wait a second. I'm feeling nervous. I'm feeling up. I'm feeling emotional. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling irritable, whatever form it takes. And then we want to try to figure out, okay, what's causing that? And once we've made that acknowledgement and we've connected there, I would argue with, we go back to that controlling the controllables. And the other piece that I would layer on top of that is, so can we look at this as opportunity, those kinds of things? And the other piece that I like to add with folks is connecting and just being honest and vulnerable about it. And I know how hard that is. It doesn't necessarily come naturally to everybody. But if you've got a trusted friend or a partner or somebody that you can connect with, I know there are even, you know, even just sort of mental health text lines, like those kinds of things. If you can pull these feelings and these emotions and these fears out from between your ears and put them on the table and have a good look at them, it's enormously helpful. Anxiety loves to grow in the shadows when we're feeling like we have to hide it. It loves that. It kind of feasts on it. I'm not sure if you've experienced anything like that.
Completely agree. I mean, I always consider myself very in tune with kind of my emotional side, right? So I'm very open and fine with being vulnerable and kind of expressing how I'm feeling on the inside. More around a male presence and the older generations, you kind of get that feeling of, you know, you're not supposed to be like that as a male. And so I find that when I'm around that a lot more and I start to bottle things up a lot more, that's when it can kind of take a really big toll. So, I mean, I can think of one example that happened, I think about 3 years ago now, where I was just doing exactly that. I was, you know, kind of having all these emotions and just bottling them up and throwing them in the background, not dealing with them. And sure enough, I had like a full blown panic attack and I had trouble driving. My heart was going through the roof. It was beneficial in a way because it taught me to pay attention to what I was feeling. So,
well, I couldn't agree more. So you're bang on when you talk about it being what we would call an anxiety attack. And it's important to remind ourselves of a couple of things there. From a physiological perspective, everything that you describe when you're sitting in the car. So first of all, needing to escape the environment. So your body threw you into that get the heck out mode. And then sitting in the car a little bit out of it. It's a result of that physiological response that happened to keep us safe. So your brain was literally just telling you that it needed to look after you in that moment. What's interesting too, and I'm not sure if you can recall back to that time or maybe some other times where this has occurred, maybe not to the same degree, but typically what happens is that chemical rush, that flood, usually takes 15 to 20 minutes or so to start to dissipate.
Yeah.
Right. So what'll end up happening is after about, you know, if you can kind of remove yourself or find yourself in a place where, you know, you're going to be okay and you practice some, you know, we can talk about breathing and mindfulness and meditation, and we can talk about that before we end off today. But if you can get yourself to a place where you know you're safe and you're okay, after about 15 or 20 minutes or so, your body does start to come down off of that and you start to come back online and right? And that's that prefrontal cortex piece coming back online. And everything we do with strategies is essentially trying to bolster that prefrontal cortex. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, and it's funny too, because I can remember exactly, like, I know exactly where I was. I was sitting in my car just in a parking lot on 10th Avenue downtown here in Calgary. And yeah. I got to my car and I remember looking at the clock and it was like 11:05. And then by 11:20, because I did not even feel comfortable driving. Yep. That's how kind of out of, it felt like I had been the DD that night as well for a few of my friends while we were out. Right. So I hadn't drank anything but I felt like I was almost under the influence because I didn't want to get behind the wheel or anything. But after about 15 minutes is when I was like, okay, calm down a bit. My breathing was starting to get to a normal rate. My heart started to get to a normal rate. It was still, you know, higher, but it felt normal and I felt more comfortable. And then I was able to drive home and was fine by the time I got home. Right. So.
Yeah, you're bang on. And so sometimes what we'll look at then is, you know, and you may have experienced this as well. A lot of folks talk about then moving forward from that. It's the fear of that happening again.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes it's that increases our anxiety because we're afraid that that panic, that anxiety attack is going to hit us again. So oftentimes what we're looking at, again, if we go back to sort of the brain and the mechanisms that are in play here, sometimes we talk about if we're super anxious and we've not done a lot of work working with sort of managing some of that, we've, like you said, kind of putting it in the background where it's growing in the shadows. Oftentimes we call that a bottom-up brain. And what we mean by that is all of that reptilian sort of, and then the midbrain kind of limbic system stuff, the amygdala in particular, that is taking all of the power and the control. And when we've got a bottom-up brain, the amygdala just fires as it wishes. And the prefrontal cortex, again, like I say, kind of goes offline. And so we lose that ability to control it. And so what we're looking to develop, and this happens in a variety of different ways, and it does kind of lead us into a conversation about strategies. We want to develop the ability to become more mindful of what's going on and to manage some of that. And we call that a top-down brain. So the thinking components that essentially make us human, those guys become the ones behind the wheel. So the prefrontal cortex is able to do what we talked about earlier, that awareness and connecting it to emotion and connecting it to the cause of that and those kinds of things. And you're able to logically kind of work your way through things a little bit. And I make it sound super easy. And you talk about your experiences and people can, I hope, hear these things and think to themselves, this is manageable and I can get through this. And we make it sound easy, but it's not. And
no, by no means.
Yeah, right. I mean, it takes a lot of work. And the first part of it is that acceptance that, hey, it's a part of my life. What am I going to do about it? So I really appreciate your stories on it.
Yeah. And I find that's, as you're saying too, you know, I had a friend that I kind of dealt with at the same time when I was dealing with this a lot more prominently in my life. He dealt with it too, but he was kind of the opposite of me. So he would go and rather than kind of look at everything, he would self-medicate, I'll say, mainly with drinking. And, you know, that would just kind of amplify it the next day and it started to become a cycle for him. And the one thing that I found that, because I still, you know, this is still a very close friend of mine. I love him to death. But one thing that he deals with, I find, is being able to accept that, you know, this is something in his life and that something needs to change in order to fix it, rather than just kind of passing it off and almost taking the easy route, right? He needs to kind of hop on the path that is going to be a bit harder, but have a better return on the investment, right? So
yeah, what a great way of putting it, return on the investment. And the other thing that I would say there is this term fix. And for me, I've always struggled with fix. And so for me, what I'm typically looking at with folks is, listen, let's look at you not as a car. Let's look at you as a collection of components that is malleable, that we can figure out how to kind of become more effective in certain areas. And so really what it comes down to is it comes down to what you've talked about already, Macaulay, which is that management of something that exists in my life. And so because it's here, what am I going to do with it? And what we find over time is that when we can wrestle the control away from anxiety, we actually do start to feel as though it's almost like, I've got one client who, you know, she's at a point where she's starting to invite anxiety. She's almost daring anxiety to show up because she feels like an anxiety ninja right now, right? She feels as though such great control over it that she's not afraid anymore. She knows what's going to happen in her body. She knows the strategies that she needs to use. And most importantly, she's using strategies like awareness. She's using strategies like the diet, the sleep, the water. She's using strategies like meditation, where she sits with her thoughts. She makes sure that she can sit back and she can calmly, in a really non-judgmental way, just kind of evaluate the thoughts that are coming in and the thoughts that are going out. She feels as though she's prepared, right? When anxiety shows up. So she's kind of taken the control away from it, which is huge.
And so, speaking of that, are you starting to find with clients or just noticing in general that as COVID-19 and the whole pandemic carries on longer and we're seeing job losses and whatnot and things that can cause stress and potentially cause anxiety, are you seeing somewhat of an influx of people who are needing to deal with this on a more regular basis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am. I think, and it cuts across industries, right? And it cuts across demographics. It's something that really, really speaks to control again here. So, you know, when you look at COVID, I often talk macro and micro. So the macro stuff is totally outside of our control. So I'm going to listen to Dr. Hinshaw and I'm going to do what she tells me to do. I'm going to wash my hands and I'm going to stay away from people and I'm going to do everything that I can do. So there's that piece of it, right? The other piece of it is I can't control what other people do. So I'm going to try to let that go, right? Yeah. I can't control the trajectory of what's going on with this pandemic. So I've got to learn to let that part go and come all the way back to, as you mentioned at the beginning, what is it that I can manage? Now, when it comes to other areas of our life, that's really important too. You know, this is causing people stress on a variety of different levels, right? So we talked about the lack of control. We talk about the unknown. We talk about fear about business and finances and work. We talk about the well-being of our loved ones. We talk about, you know, our own health. We talk about how we miss people and we miss contact and physical touch and we miss the hobbies. I mean, at this time of the year, if the weather was better, at least we'd typically be hitting some balls on the range or something, right? So. Yeah. You know, you miss these kinds of things. So there's also, on top of the anxiety, I think, Macaulay, there's also an element of loss that's happening, right? We miss kind of that normal life. And I put that in air quotes because the word normal drives me bananas. But it's this idea that we kind of miss what we've become accustomed to. So that absolutely heightens our anxiety. So again, if we distill that all the way down, though, when we look at what can we do, what can we do with our business? What can we do with our finances? What can we do to ensure that we're working in a way that makes sense for us and is going to be beneficial? Like you said, return on investment. What are the things that we can actually do? And then what are the things that we need to recognize that are outside of our control?
And it's funny that you actually say, you know, out in the range, because that is one thing. I mean, not everyone who listens to this is probably going to be a golfer or an avid golfer for that matter. But I found that that was something that I could always do that always relaxed me. And if I felt extremely stressed and I could feel somewhat anxious, mm-hmm. especially when I was new into this industry last year, right? I mean, yeah. Starting a new career, pretty much what I'm getting at is I went to the driving range a lot last year and I found it really relaxed me and was super helpful with dealing with, you know, stress and anxiety as a whole. Cause it was, you know, and it doesn't have to be that for everyone, but I find that, you know, having something to kind of take your mind off of it, as well as something somewhat physical, was it helped beyond belief with me. So
you're talking about something that links really well to a positive psychology term, flow. And you may have heard of flow, maybe not, but the quick and easy understanding of flow is it's an activity that kind of pushes us in terms of our own ability. So golf is a good example. So we are fully engaged in it. We're focused on it, you know, beyond 100% if that's possible. And it's challenging enough that it keeps our and holds our engagement. And we call that flow. Some people feel that when they're painting. Some people feel that when they're skiing. Some people feel that when they're right driving a race car, whatever the situation may be. And flow is a sort of a Shangri-La place that we're all trying to get to. So when you add some physical activity on top of that, you know, like swinging the clubs or like I say, skiing or skateboarding for some people, whatever the case may be, you kind of hit that flow zone and it absolutely feels great. And you're right. It gives your brain a real break. So I totally am with you there. 100% makes absolute sense. One of the things that's interesting too, just to link anxiety to something that we typically don't link it with, is excitement. So anxiety and excitement are really funky because they're essentially, from an arousal perspective, they're congruent. So what we mean by that is, you know, when people are anxious, you've heard often, and maybe Macaulay, this has happened to you as well. It certainly has for me. I'm anxious, I'm nervous, I'm keyed up. And somebody says, hey man, just calm down. Just take it easy. Just relax. Going to be okay, right?
Yeah.
As if I'm able to go from this heightened level of elevation to this sort of zen chill. Like it's completely impossible to do that. And so one of the brain hacks that I found really helpful for a lot of the folks that I work with is, and it actually comes out of the Harvard Business School, it's this connection between anxiety and excitement. So if you think about excitement, your physiological response to excitement is almost identical to that of anxiety. So when you're excited about something, you got an elevated heart rate, your senses are on high alert, but we look at that as a positive thing, which is interesting. Whereas anxiety, we look at that as a negative thing. And so again, is there a way for us to play with that in our brains to try to evaluate, hold on a second here. I know my nerves are power, truthfully. I know that my body's arming me for something. If I've started to connect to what that is and I've become a little bit more mindful about what's going on in my life and what I can control and what I can't control and those kinds of things, can I also then start to look at what is my body preparing me for that I can be excited about? And for a lot of people, that sounds really strange. But as you work through it, you can actually see that sometimes anxiety is keying you up for some kind of opportunity as well. So it kind of speaks to a bit of a growth mindset as well, which is kind of neat.
You know, it's one of those things that you don't really think about until you're here. And then Now that I'm thinking about it, I can totally see almost somewhat of a similarity in feeling, right? When I've been really excited to do something and when I've been, you know, anxious to do something.
Well, let's look at it really simply. Like, and again, you'll have to pardon me because I'm professionally not connected to the industry, but imagine that, let's say, as a brand new professional, brand new agent, your first open house where you're on your own and nobody's there to support you would cause some anxiety.
Yes.
Also fair to say that if we reframe that anxiety into actually excited about certain things here, could we stay on that level of arousal, but flip the anxiety and the fear into what am I excited about? Why am I feeling this way? Does that make sense?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. So that's just kind of one kind of a brain hack that we play with once in a while. And again, it doesn't fit all the time. Some people are listening to this and thinking, oh man, when it comes to COVID, Corey, pretty hard to get excited about seeing my investments. You know, it doesn't work across context, but something to think about sort of more long-term when we just look at anxiety in general, I think.
In saying that, to kind of wrap this into COVID and whatnot, what you said you've seen somewhat of an increase, right? As, you know, bills are starting to pile up. And like, I even notice as a real estate agent, we're considered an essential service. So we're still able to work. We have to take precautionary measures and whatnot. We have to, you know, really focus on everything that we're doing and make sure that we're not causing any issues and spreading anything. But with that being said, I mean, this is springtime. And I know for most people in Alberta as a whole, this would be somewhat of the busy time, right? Because kids are, you know, as a deal starts to wrap up, kids are going to be finished school. So it's easier to move and it's summertime. Usually this is the busy time. And I mean, I've seen that it's been quite slow for us, right? And I feel like that's kind of adding to the pressure quite a bit. So I just want to know, is there anything outside of kind of just like a brain hack like that or whatnot that we are able to kind of look at and reassure ourselves, you know, we can make it through this? Is there any kind of tips that you would give if you're speaking to a realtor like you are? What would you recommend?
Well, let's look at a couple of things. So let's talk first about a couple of basic strategies that I want everybody to try. And then from there, let's flip over to more of this COVID situation so we can make sure that people walk away with something related to COVID as well.
Sounds good.
So the first thing that we want to make sure that we're going to do is we're going to become a little bit more mindful. And I just mean that in general. And it almost sounds cliche to say that because everything that you read nowadays has mindful in it. But what I mean by that is just becoming super, super aware of the way that we're feeling in ourselves and the environment and really enhancing our use of our senses. And again, I know that from, you know, on the surface that can sound silly, but what it really does is it helps to create a stronger, you're kind of doing reps for your prefrontal cortex. So you're wanting to make sure that you are noticing the environment that you're in, you're focused on the sounds that you're hearing, those kinds of things. And I want people to start doing those things on a daily, regular basis. Again, keeping your prefrontal cortex online is really, really important. So something like mindfulness is huge. Staying active is enormous. So what can you do to make sure that you are exerting the energy that's pent up within you, right? Whether it's punching a heavy bag or going for a run by yourself, whatever the situation is, can you make sure that you're staying active and you're getting rid of some of that excess energy? I talked about meditating already. Again, this isn't a session on meditation, so I'm going to keep it super brief. What I will say is meditation and mindfulness are so uber connected that you can be meditating if you're just focusing on your senses. That's just fine as well. The other one is breathing. And this one is huge, Macaulay. And I don't know if you've done any work around breathing at all.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, for folks, one of the quick and easy ones that I like to share is again, it's really simple. So I'll just kind of walk us through it. So the first part of it is, you breathe in through your nose for about 3 seconds. And then I would have folks hold that breath for about 3 seconds and then exhale out of your mouth for longer than the 3 seconds. And it's really important that your exhale through the mouth is a little bit longer, because the exhale is what's engaging the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest nervous system. So the inhale kind of fires you up a little bit, but the exhale is what calms you down. So in through your nose for 3, hold on to it, and then exhale through your mouth for about 4 or so. And then one other piece that really helps folks from time to time is to visually, sort of in your mind's eye, observe where your breath is going. And that sounds weird when you first think about it, but when you try it, it's phenomenal, because again, it engages different components of your brain. So breathing is a big one, and I really want folks to practice that. All of these things, I want you to practice them as often as you can when you don't need them, so that when you need it, it's available. And the only other one that I'll say, and I think it'll walk us directly into this COVID crisis that we're in right now, is our self-talk. And so we could do an entire podcast on self-talk, but in particular, just a quick and easy one for right now is I want folks to start thinking about what they can do. Oftentimes, anxiety loves to have us talking about what we don't want. You know, I don't want my investments to go down anymore. I don't want to feel crappy when I wake up anymore. I don't want to eat garbage food through the drive-thru. I don't want to, right? So we have all of these don'ts. If we can switch our don'ts into what we want and into some do, that's enormously powerful. Our brain listens to us when we tell it what to think. So if we tell it not to think something, it's still going to think it. So let's at least upload the thoughts that we want. Instead of saying, I don't want to eat like crap anymore, well, what do you want, and how are you going to go about doing that? And so again, starting to talk to ourselves about doing as opposed to what we don't want. And again, I kind of think that leads us into this COVID situation. We've talked a lot, Macaulay, today already about accepting that this anxiety is going to be around, accepting that the new normal is what it is for today. And I mean, before we even started today, we kind of joked about it's the new normal for today. It might be different tomorrow. Yeah. That recognizing that state of flux, it is going to make us as animals feel strange. We're going to feel jittery. We're going to feel keyed up. So just kind of accepting that. And then the other part of it is it possible to hit pause a little bit as the world is kind of slowed down? We do everything that we can to keep ourselves and our families safe. But is it also possible to slow down a little bit more than that and to start taking stock of what it is that we can control? So from a business perspective, what are the types of things that I can adjust? What can I tweak? What do I want? Can I, you know, I can't predict what's going to happen with this pandemic, but certainly I can start to reflect on how I practice my craft. Certainly I can start to reflect on the way that, I don't know, maybe I engage social media, or the way that I do, how's my marketing? What's my marketing plan? And in the realities of the economic realities, as well as sort of the unknown, are there things that I can start to slow down and actually take this as an opportunity, heaven forbid, and actually, you know, kind of, I guess, adjust my sales a little bit? What is it that I can control, and what can I do? What can I manage?
So I found, I'm a big believer in stoicism. So I'm sure you're somewhat familiar with mm-hmm. that, but kind of just looking at a problem and realizing it's a problem, realizing, okay, this sucks, but then using your creativeness in order to find a way around it.
Yep.
And so one thing that I've found to be quite helpful during this time personally is the fact that I've been able to, number one, kind of step back and do some learning. Yep. So I've been very interested in digital marketing. Before I got into real estate, that was actually what I did was digital marketing consulting. And I did it for realtors, so of course, became one. But anyhow, I found that like during this time, it gave me an opportunity to touch up on that and to go through. But with that being said, it also gave me an opportunity to kind of look at everything I was doing and change it out for kind of make it so I'm still able to work during this time and take a little bit of that stress of, oh, where's my next deal going to come from? It's hard enough already wondering that in real estate, but you know, with the whole pandemic, it can be super hard. But you know, gives me more time to study what I should be doing on my social media, as well as one thing that I've found is kind of using the sale point of the pandemic to push the fact that technology has advanced so far. So we could go on to a Zoom call or FaceTime and I can show you a property, right? If I'm working with you as a buyer, you don't necessarily need to be there. I can go through and I can point out, okay, there's, you know, this scratch on the floor. Look at this. There's this. And you can stay at home with your kids or whatever you need to do, right? So it's one thing that's really helped and kind of reduced my stress and anxiety is being able to use that creative output and kind of look at, all right, well, this is a problem, but how can I be a problem solver in this situation? So
I love it. You're absolutely. And I mean, at its core, you're talking about professional and personal development there and controlling the things that you can control. And the other part of that too, and it's an analogy that I've used a lot lately is, you know, we build, right? So we build our personal life, we build our professional life, we build the skills that we've got. And it's all kind of, if you view it sort of as this Lego castle, it's one of those things where sometimes the Lego castle just gets crushed by something. And we're in a situation right now where, you know, COVID has essentially just taken out this Lego castle. And when that happens, what goes on is all of those pieces get smashed and some of them might even fall off the table. So we don't even know what's missing at this point. So now we've got an opportunity where we can either be just kind of sitting and not doing much with that, or we can start to say, okay, how do we put this thing back together? And what is it that I need to fill in the blanks? And what types of things can I access? And who do I have to talk to? And where can I grow? And what can I learn? And what is this thing going to turn into? Because eventually COVID is going to go away. So who am I going to be when I open up the door again? Right?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. I find that, you know, it's almost, yeah, as I said, it's kind of able to give you that opportunity to kind of figure out a lot of things and self-reflect, sort of say, right? So, right. So it kind of gives an opportunity as well to self-improve from a business standpoint, right? Which I think personally, and you can correct me here if I'm wrong, but I find anytime I do actions like that, it starts to mitigate and really help with the stresses, which later bring on the anxiety. So as I'm being proactive to deal with, as we kind of said at the beginning of this, you know, the controllable variables, it really starts to help with being able to manage everything quite easily. So,
yep, you're absolutely right. And it totally comes down to control. You're bang on. Makes absolute sense. I would agree with you. Now, the last thing that I would say, sort of in wrapping up, I guess, is that, you know, we want to normalize the experience that people are having when it comes to nervousness and anxiety, 100%. We don't ever want to, you know, anybody to feel as though we're minimizing, you know, kind of what they're feeling and what they're going through. So we want to normalize, but not minimize. And the other thing that we want to do is we want to have people walk away feeling like there may be opportunity for me right now to do some things that maybe I hadn't thought of before. So Macaulay, I love the way you talked about creativity and looking to wrestle some control back from some of those fears. So for me, you know, that's kind of my end of things. I definitely want people to start focusing there. And again, some of the strategies we talked about, I think are going to be helpful for folks too, if they give them a chance. And then, I mean, I'm in the mental health field. So for me, I'm always going to talk about, you know, connecting with your emotions, connecting with the mental health side of things. You know, we know that the mental and physical health are so completely connected and related. I would say that if you need some support, make sure you reach out to somebody, whether that's a trusted friend or a therapist, a psychologist, whatever it is that that you feel you need. And again, just kind of normalizing and recognizing that we're all kind of going through this together in varying ways. So thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate the chat. This was actually very beneficial. So thank you again.
Awesome. My pleasure. Thanks. Good to chat with you.
Thank you to Corey and Macaulay for their time. We hope you stay safe out there, and we hope to see you the next time we are in your area.